Today I wanted to continue this discussion that Rick started about 3 weeks ago. And he started this conversation about God being a God of abundance, right? And so if you haven't been here the last three Sundays, I encourage you, I have zero time to go back and find all those awesome little nuggets of great teaching. Hopefully they're up online or they're getting up online and you can go back and listen to them. But he started this thing in the midst of that it's from Deuteronomy 8:18, that God gives us the power to make wealth. And of course, if you remember, there's seven things that God created wealth for, and for us to get wealth from. And obviously, the one that we all automatically think of, as soon as you throw that up there, you would be thinking, what? Finances, right? Wealth in relationship to money. That's all the world talks about in relationship to wealth. That is not all that God desires and thinks about when he says wealth. And we talked about seven different things. And so we're going to talk about, he left us with these three things, and they're probably on the third slide, but he talked about this atmosphere of excellence, attitude of blessing, and a heart of thanksgiving. And so I'm going to talk about an atmosphere of excellence today, and then Rick's going to come back next week and share about blessing and thanksgiving. Obviously, that's nice. It goes along with Thanksgiving anyway. But talking about creating an atmosphere of excellence. And man, the Lord has been challenging me as I've been preparing. I'm like, whoa, it's really, really deep stuff. But I wanted to start out with this scripture that kind of talks about it in relationship to where it is. Go on to that next thing. It's in 2 Peter 1:3. It talks about God's divine power has granted to us, to you, everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now, again, we're pretty big self-proclaimed Greek scholars around here. And so when you look that Greek word up of everything, guess what it is?
Everything.
All right, just good, man. You are on it this morning. Or at least the 15 that says everything, right? So everything. So everything means everything. So I don't know about you. This is the way I used to think about Christianity. I always thought that I was really evil, really bad, really screwed up, really messed up. And that I had to start living my life to where I would go out and grab things and start applying them to my life to become good person, to become a better person. Even when I became a believer, and guess what? I kept doing that. Problem was, before I was a believer, I had zero power to do that. Anybody experience that? Try to be good, can't do it. So after I'm a believer, I still operated very similarly. You know, I'm like, oh God, I got to, you know, pray several hours a day. I got to, you know, make sure I get 1,000 scriptures memorized by the age of whatever, and got to read the Bible from front to back. I've got to do so. Everything I'm trying to gain and put into me, and then all of a sudden the Lord brought the scripture around and he said, "You're thinking wrong. Like you got some stinking thinking. Like you got to start thinking differently. You got to understand that God has already injected that into you from the foundation of the world." Everything pertaining to life and godliness is in you. All right? Can you let that sink in this morning? He has already given it. It's already there. Now, where is it released? Well, that's the next scripture, part of it. Everything pertaining to life and godliness through, that's the doorway, right? Everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him. That's why you got to get to know him to even start that process. But, you know, most of us get a salvation understanding of God, and we sometimes stop or we get stalled. God wants to take you from glory to glory in the knowledge of him. It's kind of like, and I hope I don't, Daniel, tell me if I'm going to, it's like going to this door and thinking that, you know, I'm going to, right? I can go through the door, right? Right? No, I have to go through what? Glory and excellence. That's what we're going to be talking about today. The reality of going through the door is there is some action on my part, getting to know God, obviously the knowledge of God. Then he's called us to what? Glory and excellence. He's called us to it. Like, does God call you to something that you can't obtain? That was supposed to be an easy question. Does God call you to something you can't obtain? No. So if he's called you to glory and excellence, then you're able to get there. You're able to receive it. You're able to walk in it. So sometimes the problem is we get stuck, you know, banging the door when he's like, open it, like, open it. It's through something. It's through the true knowledge of God who called us to his own glory and excellence. Glory, obviously, Rick talked about this. You can go back and get the videotape on that. But glory is who? Excellence is how or how he does things or what he does. That's how he does it. Excellence is not about me performing to 100% like ultra high standard. Me, it's excellence is performing to this place of what God's put in you, what already God's spoken over you, what God's already declared who he is. I walk from that place of what and how. And so this scripture is like huge, and we'll talk about the next couple scriptures that God wants to unlock even below it. But this atmosphere of glory and excellence, God wants to really bring that to us. Okay, so that's kind of the foundation. That's what Rick's already kind of done. But go on to the next one. And obviously, I already spoke these. His glory and excellence attracts or makes wealth through these three things: atmosphere of excellence, attitude of blessing, heart of thanksgiving. And obviously, I already spoke that. Remember the seven areas of wealth. But we didn't talk about them actually, right? Seven areas of wealth are, number one, relationships, finances, time, your body, your physical body, gifts in ministry, faith, and in Christ, words, and in Christ. All these areas are in this place of, I probably said, that was not, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 8. Why did I put 7? 8 things. And so there's a reality that God wants to empower us to make wealth in every area. I remember Rick last week just said, you know, I'm starting to evaluate every area of my life through these things. Am I creating, making, is wealth being attracted to these areas? The area of relationships, is there wealth in that? Is there like this place of really God? And if there's not, it's not condemnation. It's just an evaluation so that God's saying, all right, I want to redeem that. I want to excel. I want to bring excellence to that so that you can see that. And so that's the facet of God that God wants to bring into it. These areas of wealth, these seven areas, eight areas of wealth, God wants to bring excellence, his glory and excellence into. Okay? So go on. So what brings an atmosphere of excellence? Well, this one passage that we're going to spend just a second on, Philippians 4:8. Y'all have heard it before. Most of the time, before I started studying for this message and put it in the context of what God's been doing, before this time, I always saw this scripture as a failure scripture, because I knew there is zero way that my life looked like this, you know? And all of a sudden, the Lord kept, again, reminding me, Mitch, you're seeing that wrong. Like, you're seeing it with a perspective of your own, the way that you've always seen things. Like, you have to add these things to you. You have to make sure that, you know, you perform these out well. God's saying, sorry in you. Sorry about who he is in you. They're already there, so I can walk in them. So Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, he talks about whatever is true. Obviously, true means not hidden. You know, we're talking about this facet of bringing truth, bringing something to the light. Remember when something comes to the out of darkness into the light, it becomes light. You know, that's why we bring it to the light. That's why God wants to bring things out into the light that's not hidden. Whatever is honorable in relationship to respect and dignity. Whatever is right, doing things right, you know, just the right way, you know, just putting this facet of, man, I want to do things in a right fashion. Again, if you hear of these any in performance or condemnation, just say, man, I want to see how you're saying this. I want to see how you're saying this, God, so I don't see that way. Right, whatever is pure in relationship to being clean, whatever is lovely, that word in relationship to, it just means creating affection, you know, whatever creates affection to the Lord, whatever is of good report, being spoken well of, you know, and then it says, if there is any excellence or anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So all six of these characteristics exemplifies excellence. It is what excellence is. It's a definition of it. And the Lord gave me this, just this little concept. We went up into the jungle of Costa Rica. I was hoping maybe Jesse Lefkowitz would be here, or I don't think anybody is here that went up into about, we went about 10 or, we did bring them back. We went up into the jungle of Costa Rica about 10 or 12 hours by foot. The rest of it was, yeah, that was just, I don't even have time to tell you how we got there, but, you know, probably 20, 15 hours, 20 hours into the journey, we come up into this village up in the middle of absolutely nowhere and had some incredible divine encounters, opportunities. But when we went up there, we took a filter. We took a 5-gallon bucket and this filter. Well, why would we take a filter 12, 15 hours up into the jungle? Why would we do that? Right, I needed what? Clean water. I needed to make sure that whatever I was drinking in that water was of good report, you know, that was right, it was clean, it was lovely, all these things. And so I needed a filter to do that. I couldn't do it myself. I needed a filter. And so, you know, unfortunately, we didn't learn how to use it, and it took like almost the whole day to get 5 gallons of water out of it. But that's a whole nother story, but because it really worked really fast, but you just need to know how to work it. But anyway, we got, you know, 5 gallons, and man, it was awesome to know. It's awesome to know that whatever you're drinking does not have a parasite, a bacteria, or virus. Anybody want to drink something that could possibly have any three of those?
No, thank you.
Okay, great. So I just want to make sure that everybody was good on that. Well, I felt like the Lord said, this scripture is a filter for your life to make sure that bacteria, make sure a virus, make sure a parasite does not get in there, even unknowingly. So, you know, I started thinking about all of these. You know, these are what we just talked about. If my life, you know, went through this filter, so every thought I had, you know, we talk about this a lot in our reality of where you've been, you know, that your belief system creates thoughts, your thoughts create feelings, your feelings create actions, right? We've talked a lot about that in the past. If you haven't, the reality is there's four things that you have, you know, beliefs, thoughts, feelings, actions. Think about this. If your belief system, if your thoughts, if your feelings and your actions went through this filter, all of them, guess what would come out on the other side? Right? Every thought, man, I'm a jerk. Well, is that true? Is it right? Is it honorable? Is it lovely? Well, is it? Please tell me. Go ahead. Am I a jerk? I didn't know. I was getting a little worried. Maybe I am a jerk. Nobody said, hey, wait a second. That's not right, Mitch. Right? Go ahead.
That's not right.
Thank you. Just check. Jeez. Come on, heart. Come on, y'all. Interact with me a little bit so I know that. So if I believe I'm a jerk, then can I get that through the filter of this situation, what God said? I can't get it, right? It closes up at that moment, right? It won't go. So what do I have to do? I have to take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It has to go, right? You know, so when I start thinking and when I start acting, when I start feeling, if I filtered it through these six things, do you think that when I came out on the other side, wouldn't that be awesome? Every thought, every feeling, every action was true, right, pure, honorable, lovely, and of good report. Anybody want that?
Yeah.
Every action, every thought?
Yeah.
Well, I believe the Lord's setting up for you to put a filter in your life. And it's not even going to be like, you're going to practice it, but it's not even going to be, after you practice, it's going to be like, everything that starts filtering is going to be like, whoa, wait a second, that's not lovely, holy moly, yeah, that's out, I can't stand, I can't stay. So this filter that God's really bringing to us, because if you remember that if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Now that dwell kind of just means to pseudo think about it, right? If you think of the word in English, dwell, you kind of just like, okay, I'm thinking about it for a decent amount of time, but it doesn't mean I have to think about it all the time, right? Well, that word is legizma. I think it's the legizma. It's the one that it means literally you have to come to a conclusion. Like 1 + 1 = 2. Okay, 3, 4. It's not a trick question. Y'all think I'm tricking you today. I think everybody's kind of laid back going, is that really 2? I don't know about it. See, 1 + 1 = 2. Yes, 2. All right. So, let me start over. 1 + 1 = 2. All right. So you guys have already come to a conclusion of that, right? That was kindergarten, and you haven't stopped believing that until you get into some weird math, which I did do. If Mr. Shimazono was here, is he here? No. Oh, man. Yeah, Shema's, I mean, once you get into certain math, you got imaginary numbers and everything. And so I'm like, I know, yeah, Shema's Ono is making up new math. It is amazing. He's thinking out of the box, but crazy theoretical things. But if you come to this place of 1 + 1 = 2, that's what you have to do in this filter. Like, these are things I don't just hang out and dwell and think about. These are things I come to a conclusion in my life about. Like, is this thought that I'm thinking, is this action I'm taking of good report, is it lovely? Is it creating affection for God, you know, in my life, to others? Is it honorable? You know, this action that I just took, is it honorable to that other person? I've been doing it with my, even just thinking in relationship to Leah, like, if I did that action, would it be honorable? Whoa. Cut that exit out the side, right? You know, is it pure? You know, is it right? And is it true? Is it true? Man, if you filtered through that and came to a conclusion on all those things, like that's how I need to filter my heart and my life, man, I believe everything coming out on this other side would be kingdom. Yes. Like it would have effect. And I think sometimes we get stuck, we're like, I'm not having effect in the life that I'm having. I'm not having any effect in the things that I'm doing. Well, maybe God's saying, I'm going to set this filter up for you. Not out of performance. This is zero performance. This is zero performance. And it's zero condemnation. Like, if you feel like, man, jeez, I don't think I've been doing that very well. And like, that's okay. God's setting it up today. Like, God's setting you something up. And so I wanted to talk about four real quick realities in this. Because I want to give you some illustrations, just some examples. So excellence, think about this in the next scripture. This is the next scripture in that, by his glory and excellence. Remember that scripture in 2 Peter 1:3? By his glory and excellence. So this is the next scripture. And it says, by these, and I really believe he's talking about glory and excellence, by glory and excellence, he has granted to you, what? His precious and magnificent promises, so the first thing he does is he gives you what? If we're walking in glory and excellence, I can guarantee you the promises will be ours in full effect. You won't even have, like, I believe some ways you won't even have to ask, you won't even have to claim them. They're just going to be there. Because, why? Because everything in my life is filtering through this filter of life. And so all of a sudden, man, I'm walking in the promises of God. And then if you're walking in the promises of God, what's the next step? So that you may partake of the what? Anybody want to partake of the divine nature of God? Three? Four? Come on. I mean, come on, you got to respond. Like, do you want the divine nature of God? Like, being who he is. Like, that's what you need. That's what all of us, I don't become God, but he's called me to be like him, right? I hope we're, you know, if you wore those other WWJDs, I mean, yeah, what would Jesus be being like him? That's what you want. So that by him you may become partakers of his divine nature. So that's why we need glory and excellence, because I want to enter into the fullness of promises. It's not performance. It's walking in this filter so that the promises are mine. The yes and amen are already there. The yes and amen's there. The being like God. I mean, if every action I took came out of this filter, wouldn't that look like God? Don't you think that looks like God?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. I think it does. All right, so go on to the next one. Another reality of excellence. It's supplied to our faith. All right, I had to go deep today to get the illustration for this one. So say this is your faith, right? And it says, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, this is the next scripture right after entering into his divine nature. So he's saying, if you're going to enter into divine nature, I need you to walk in this scenario, okay? This scenario says apply every ounce of diligence that God wants to give. We walk in diligence, this place of diligence. And it says in your faith, we'll pretend this is your faith, right? In your faith, what? Supply what? Excellence. Right now, it's kind of an empty box, right?
Yes.
Right? Faith. Faith needs some application to it. What? Applying all excellence. It said some of your scriptures might say virtue or moral excellence. It does have something to do with that, but it's more in relationship to excellence. And there's all these scriptures that I'm talking about have that scripture in relationship to excellence. So out of your excellence, you apply what? Knowledge. Out of your knowledge, you apply what?
Self-control.
It's a good one to have. And I'm going to run out of these things. And then out of your perseverance, out of self-control, what?
Perseverance.
Out of perseverance.
Godliness.
Out of godliness.
Brotherly kindness.
Out of brotherly kindness.
Love.
Now what is it?
Full.
It's pretty full. You know what the next scripture says? I didn't even put it up there. It says, if these qualities are yours and they're increasing, that, I should read it because I'm going to blow it. I want to, I didn't write it down. Wait a minute, here it is. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God.
Hallelujah.
Whoa. And remember why we need the knowledge of God? Because it's the doorway to glory and excellence.
Right.
So if these are on the increase in your life, you will be rendered neither useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of God. And then even down there it says, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Anybody want that?
Yeah.
I mean, some of us, we wake up saying, I hope I don't stumble today. You know what you can do? If these are increasing, you never have to ask that question. You never have to ask that question. Just allow God to begin to increase these. That's a whole nother sermon right there, and I can't even, but that's the reality. Go back to that whole thing. Excellence. That's the first layer to your faith. Apply excellence, right? Right? Apply this filter to your faith. And that will be the starting point, all right? Everybody got that?
Yeah.
All right. So think about the next one. Go on. Excellence is between you and God. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than men, right? It's not about performing for men. I was a performer for many years, like even when I didn't know God, and then even when I knew God. I mean, everybody thought I had it together. Everybody, if you think I have it together, sorry to burst your bubble, but I thought I had to have it together. I had to have nobody had access to this heart whatsoever, zero vulnerability. Like, all of a sudden, God redeemed me from that. Actually, there's another whole testimony I could say, a salvation moment for me. You know, where God brought me out of that. But this fact of it's not for people, it's not for the men, it's for God. Like doing the work. Remember, work is not like just serving. This is the work of God that you what?
Believe.
Believing is work. Like these are the works of God. This place of believing, this place of faith. Adding that excellence to your faith. And so this reality. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of an inheritance. It's the Lord Christ you serve. So excellence between you and God. Right? There's this facet of that. You know, sometimes maybe Leah's form of excellence is a little different than my form of excellence because we're walking with God in a personal way. But I think there is a corporate excellence that we can bring. And I hope for Dwelling Place, I believe God's bringing that out. You know, there's going to bring this place of excellence into our life with our relationships, with our time, with our resources, with our gifts and ministry, you know, with being in Christ and all those things that we talked about. Go on to the next one. Excellence is to be expressed. Think about this one. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for God's own possession. I hope you receive that. That's who Jesus just declared you were. That's who we are as a people. That's who we are as a church. It says, and if you're going to be that, then you better express it, right? Watch this. So that, anytime you see so that, sorry, I'm a math guy. Anytime I see so that, the first thing is trying to give you the resource for the next thing, right? God declared that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people. If you get that identity to you, so that now, if I have that identity, what am I going to go over here and do? I'm going to proclaim the excellencies of God. I'm going to proclaim the excellence of God. I'm going to see this filter up here, and I'm going to walk through it with the kingdom of God, right?
Amen.
And so there's this reality that's what God, you may proclaim it. You may declare it. You may express it. I'll share this testimony. I was going to share it at the end, but One of my favorite testimonies in relationship to this excellence is, anybody go to the McDonald's in Christiansburg? Sorry, everybody's like, ooh, I don't know if I should. Is that legal to go to McDonald's? Everybody's like, I don't feel like y'all are trusting me this morning. Like, I feel like everybody's like, is he going to say something bad about that? All right. Sorry, I go there and study, okay? And I get a tea, sweet tea. Surprise, surprise. Like, get my sweet tea. And so does anybody, who goes to Christiansburg? Does anybody notice something different about Christiansburg than any other McDonald's you have go to? For me, it does. Every morning I go, I show up, and there's this Egyptian man named Farouk. And this guy, every morning I come in, he's like, oh, how are you? How are you? Good, good. How are you? Good. Yeah. And that's all he can say, really, personally. It's awesome. This guy makes McDonald's awesome for me. All right? McDonald's shouldn't be really probably incredible for anybody, maybe kids in this room. I mean, you know, maybe the kids that are still in here, sorry, cover their ears. Don't say McDonald's is bad. But, you know, the reality is that I don't think of other McDonald's like this McDonald's. Why? Because there's something about Farouk. You know, he's from Egypt. It's awesome. I think Mark just stepped out, but he goes to a church, Coptic church down in Roanoke, and I think they've been able to interact with him down there. But he's so excellent because all he does, he can't talk a lick, but he has got the gift of hospitality on it. He's got the gift of hospitality. Everything he does is with excellence. He serves. I mean, he's just diligent to serve. He takes your plate from you. I mean, he cleans up after you. I mean, this guy is amazing. He's excellent at what he does. He applied excellence. He applied what's true, right, pure, honorable, lovely, good report. And he doesn't have anything to give other than himself. He doesn't have anything to give other than love, other than service. And he's excellent at it. And it's amazing. So, you know, I just want to encourage you that there's a reality that excellence, he expresses excellence to me. And I love it. I love going there. All right? It's probably not great. It's healthy for me, but I like their tea. All right? They get me that. And it's a dollar, so that's another good thing. So that's where they get me, that dollar. Free refills. Dollar free refills. So go on to that next one. Excellence is to be practiced. This is what Farouk does. Philippians 4:9. Philippians 4:9 is right under Philippians what? 4:8, great. I was just making sure y'all are alive. You're waiting. 4:8, and 4:8's what we just did with this, right?
Right.
All this scripture is 4:8. The next scripture says that if these things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, so what's Paul saying? Paul's saying that, okay, I've had to do this myself. I've had to stand back in this filter, and I have filtered my life through it. So, and the things that you got out of Paul, remember, Paul beforehand he killed Christians, you know. He was totally anti-God, and all of a sudden God rescued him, saved him. Well, he didn't come to this naturally. He didn't come to this like, wow, this is awesome. Now I'm awesome. But he didn't come to that. He came to this reality because he went through it, right? And he came to this other side, and he said, the things you've learned, received, heard, seen in me, do what? What does practice mean to you guys? Does that mean you have it all together and you're 100% excellent at it? Okay, so you know what he just gave you? The liberty to do? Not do it right? Not always understand everything? Not have it all together? But he's saying, start practicing, you know? Like when you have a thought in the morning, okay? Man, it's going to be a bad day. Or man, I'm tired like this morning. Man, I am tired. You know, filter it through these things. Is it true? Is it right? Is it lovely? Is it, well, if it isn't, then what do I have to do? Begin to renew my mind to, wait a second, it doesn't have to be a bad day. This is the day that the what? Whoa, now everybody got that scripture, right? Because y'all learned it. Y'all grew up on that, right? You went to Well, y'all didn't finish it, though. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So I can, I don't know what the day holds, but I can what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, now the thought process just came. I just came through that filter. And I came out on the other side. Rejoicing versus what? Dreading. Right? Here I'm dreading. Here I'm rejoicing. Okay? That's the filter that God wants to bring into our spirit and our life. All right? Think about, practice these things, and the result of that is going to be what?
Peace.
Not only that you get peace, but the what? God of peace will be what? Jehovah Shema, right? With you. Somebody write that. Did you write that this week? Or somebody wrote that. Jehovah Shema, I saw that. That's another whole testimony, but that's a name of God. A name of God. Jehovah Jireh is God that what?
Provides.
Jehovah Shema is the God who is here. He's present. He's with you, right? So think about these. If I learn them, and I've seen Paul do that, I've learned it, I've received it, I've heard it. Now I get to what? Walk in it. I get to practice it, right? I love that. Joe's saying, if you're not good at, can I just say I'm not good at evangelism? I mean, you might think that I'm really good back there greeting you or introducing, but you're on my turf. Like, you came in the door, right? That's easier. At least you halfway want to be here. Maybe you got dragged here, but, I mean, at least you had some type of decision in that. Like, I'll come. You're going to take me out for food afterwards, but I'm coming, right? Anyway, whatever reason you came, you're here. And so, but the reality is, when I go out there, you know what I default to? I default to more of my politeness, like more of my like, man, I don't want to bother that person, like her eating. And God just told me to go up to him. Like that can't, like that's a, it's almost like a, is that, could that be right? Could he tell me to go up to eat? Is there, yeah. But I love going with a Joe. I love going with an Isaiah. I love going with these people that are like, because it gets me going in that arena. I mean, we got to spend the weekend together going up to Jared's wedding. And I could feel that. He's just like Joe imparts that. Just get around somebody that does it. It makes you want to do it. Even if you don't like to do it, it makes you want to do it, right? So all of a sudden it's like, you know, this fact, if you don't like to evangelize, go with somebody that really enjoys it. Because I love it, because when he, all of a sudden he gets involved and all of a sudden breaks the ice, you know, goes and like makes that connection, all of a sudden I can go love on him and pastor him like crazy. I love that part. I just don't like that first initial like moment. But they do. And they can help you get into a place where, okay, I'm doing it. You know, the other day I was at Hardee's and Lord just, did I share this testimony the other day? I can't remember. I think I may have shared it in a couple different situations, but yeah, you know, just was at Hardee's and was meeting with a guy there. And when I went up, you know, nobody in Hardee's really ever seems to want to be there or like likes it. Like, I mean, versus like Chick-fil-A, they almost like, you have to, like, my pleasure. Yes, thank you, my pleasure. You have to smile, right? Yeah, we got our Chick-fil-A girl back there. But it's expected. Why? Because there's a level of excellence. But it's funny, when I go into Hardee's, sometimes I feel like I'm kind of a bother, and I'm like, here, just take my money, just give me my food, and I'll just go sit down and eat. And but there was this girl, and she, like, she had a smile on, and, like, she was, like, joyful. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, I want you to speak into that. And I'm like, sweating, starting to sweat, all right, Lord. But I just said, all right, Lord, how you want to do it? He said, take what you like to do. All right, what do I like to do? I like to go get some scripture, write it down for her, you know, declare into her, I just saw the joy of the Lord on you, that he takes pleasure in you, that he just delights in you. Wrote those things down, gave her some scripture. I was like, all right, God, I got to give it to her. All right, so how am I going to do that? And he just set me up. It was like, I didn't want to go back up to the register because I didn't want to put her on the spot. So she comes out and takes a smoke break out here, and I'm like, okay. And so I'm trying to finish it up, hurry it. And then about that, right when I got done with it, she's like taking back off. And I'm like, so I just run, I get out of my car and run to her. And I just say, hey, this might sound really weird, but God just wanted me to declare into you that he saw joy in you this morning. I saw the joy of the Lord on you. And he just wanted to declare that he takes delight in you. That was it. You could just start seeing the tears, you know, start leaving. She like gives me a big old hug, man. She's like, thank you so much. And so that's all I did. Just take something I like to do and then go to, you know, give it to her. At least I was giving her something. Sometimes I feel like when I'm giving something, it's nice. Like when we took the little vials of sand. I love that. So I'm like, here, I can give you something, and I'm going to proclaim into you something. So anyway, take what God gives you, what your strength is, and use it. So a couple of examples real quick. Think about this. There's really two cool kings in the Old Testament. Well, there's a bunch of cool kings, but there's two kings that it makes this declaration about. Okay, can we just focus on this declaration? Think about this. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. Anybody want that? Like, not in an arrogant way, but you would want God to say something. Man, there was not a man of God that walked like Mitch before or after. I mean, that's a pretty hefty statement, right? He said, man, there wasn't a king that walked in this way before or after. You know what? Who this was? It was Hezekiah. It was Josiah. And we're not going to look at Josiah. You could, but it was just a long, I mean, there's a long passage. I just couldn't put it in. You know the cool part about Hezekiah? You know what he did? He inherited a kingship that was not of the King Jesus or King of heaven. He got it when it was not in a good shape. There was all sorts of things. Josiah inherited a kingdom when it was not in good shape. So what did he do? He just put things in order with excellence. He just started filtering everything. Okay, is this, if what we're doing as a nation, is it true? Is it right? Is it lovely? Is it honorable? Oops. True. Pure. Is it honorable? Lovely? Is it good report? That's all he started doing. So think about this. Sorry, it's little, but he became king at 25. Who in here is at 25? Are you 25? I'm 25. No, I'm just kidding. I feel like 25. I told somebody that. Nobody's really 25. Who's 24? 26? Nobody's like, oh, there we go, 26. So, I mean, it's Ellen's age. Ellen became king of Israel. Come on. Like, what if, put yourself in that predicament. Hezekiah just became king of Israel at 25. Would you feel very confident about like making incredible crazy changes? But he did because he started filtering it through this. Look, he became king and he did right in the sight of the Lord. In the first month, he opened the doors to the temple, to the house of the Lord. Not maybe the temple, but the house of the Lord, and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites back into the house of God. He consecrated the house of the Lord. He restored the burnt offerings. He restored praise and worship into the house of the Lord. He restored the thank offerings. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving next week. That's why it's so important. You know, Thanksgiving and blessing. Think about this. The service of the house of the Lord was established again. They went out and they broke into pieces the pillars. They cut down the ashrams. Those were idols that the people of God put up and were worshiping. The children of Israel. It wasn't, you know, all these people outside the kingdom. It was the people inside the kingdom. And the altars. He restored the tithe and offering into the house of the Lord. And then Hezekiah prepared the rooms of the house of the Lord. He did all of that, like within real quick, like crazy quick. And then all of a sudden, think about that. All that right there, and then read the end. Look at this. So there was great joy in Jerusalem because there was nothing like this in Jerusalem since the days of David and Solomon. Like all of a sudden, they were like, oh, man, this is the joy of my salvation getting a rebirth. What? He didn't do anything other than order his heart and his life, order the house of Israel, and become excellent in what they were doing. He filtered the things through this, and all of a sudden, there was joy in the land again. Some of you maybe not have joy in your land. You need some joy in the land. God's saying, I want to filter that out. Think about this. And the next statement, 2 Chronicles 31. Thus Hezekiah did what was good, right, true. Obviously, those are three of these. Before the Lord, every work which he began the service of the house of God, he did with all of his heart, and he what?
Prosper.
Anybody want to prosper in the house? Yeah. One, two, three. Come on. I mean, we can do the wave if you want. I mean, that would be better. I mean, come on. They do that at the games. We win every time, right? Unlike some other team, you know, other places. So, but the reality is that he did it with all his heart and prospered, you know. So go on to the next one. Think about this one. I love, what do you have? So those kings, if you look through them, they took the authority, physical authority they had, and they used it. That's all they did. All right, this is what I have, and I'm going to do it excellently, and a nation's changed. Period. That's what happens. Think about this. Peter and John go into the temple. This guy's asking them for alms. Y'all know the story. He's asking for alms, and all of a sudden Peter looks at him and just says, I don't have what? Silver or gold. But what I do have, spiritual authority, what I do have, I give you. I use it in excellence. Like Peter learned a whole lot of lessons. We can go through that whole thing. But he got this place of this filter. And all of a sudden, now he's operating in excellence. So all of a sudden, he's like, man, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, beforehand, you know, he was doing, I will never forsake you. I will never. Well, what was that? What is that? I will never forsake you, God. I will never, you know, this is Peter, remember? It's called pride, right? It's called, I can do that in my own strength, pride. Where did that action get him? You know, in that mode of being out there. But all of a sudden, God restored him to what was pure and honorable and right. Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. And then all of a sudden, now he's operating in what? Authority and faith. And all of a sudden, he's like, he comes over here and says, what I do have, I give you. Get up and walk. Anybody want to be in that place?
Oh, yeah.
I believe God, if God will start, if we put this even in the context, because I think a lot of us get stuck back here with lack of confidence and lack of understanding, because God's saying, you need to filter that. You know, are you a king? Are you in this? Are you a royal priesthood?
Yeah.
Are you a chosen nation?
Yes, yes.
Are you, what was the other one? I forgot it. People of God's own possession? Yeah, you filter that through, and then all of a sudden you come out like, you know, right? Yeah, babe. Not in arrogance. They're like, man, we're going to go raise some people up. I'm going to go speak into that person. Get up. And they'll walk. And that's what I want to walk in. So what do you have? I start asking that question. What do I have? Ask God then to apply excellence, atmosphere of excellence. Ask God to bless it and thank God for it. If we'll do that scenario, I think God will begin to do incredible things. All right, next one more. This is an awesome one. Think about this lady with the alabaster box. Y'all remember her?
Yes.
You know, she goes and wastes the alabaster box on jar that was worth at least a year's wages almost. That's what they were, 300 denarii, which is a day's wage. So you think about that. You know, that's how much it costs. I mean, put it in, maybe $40,000 vial of perfume, which is totally ridiculous in my book. But, you know, but the reality is that's what it was. I mean, it was worth that, you know, back in that day. So truly I say, and all of a sudden she does it, and then all of a sudden they get on to her, and they're like, so all of a sudden Jesus says, rebukes them and say, leave her alone. Like, why do you bother her? She has done a good, true, right, pure, honorable, lovely, good report thing to me. So all of a sudden, she has done what? She could. She just took a $40,000 worth vial of perfume, and she what? Did what she could. She poured it out on Jesus, right? Now think about this. There is no other place in the gospel that this is said about anybody. So wherever the gospel's preached, what she did will be known. In another version of this, I wanted to bring this out. They call her a sinner, and I'm assuming it's the same version. I mean, it's kind of, go on to the next slide. I'm sorry, that's really small. I'll read it to you. It says, this is when, now one of the Pharisees was requesting Jesus to dine. He entered the house. He was reclining at the table. There was a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she learned that he was reclining in the table of the Pharisee's house, she brought the perfume. Standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to weep. So she didn't even feel comfortable as a sinner to even get near Jesus. So she came up behind him, got at his feet, and began to wet his feet with her tears. And he kept wiping with the hair of her head. She was kissing his feet. It was so funny at the rehearsal dinner. they announced that Jared and Emily were going to do a foot washing, and these little girls go, ew, nasty. And they were just washing feet. What about kissing? What about kissing? Kissing his feet, anointing them with perfume. Now, when the Pharisees who invited him saw this, he said to himself, he didn't even say it out loud. He said it to himself. He said, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is touching him, that she is a sinner. Okay, obviously Jesus heard that because he's going to respond to him, right? What does Jesus tell him? I'm going to say something to you, Simon. Simon says, all right, go ahead. He says, a money lender had two debtors who owed 500, one owed 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them. Now, who's going to love more, 500 or 50? If you had $500 and $50, you would thank God a little bit more for the fact that you just got released from the 500, right?
That's right.
I mean, there's more in that. So which of them would love them more? Simon obviously answered rightly. I suppose the one whom he forgave more. Go on to the next sling. Turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? He's trying to point something out to her. Think about this. Do you see this woman? She just applied excellence right before you, and you totally missed it. She did something as a sinner that you as a Pharisee, a worker of the law, the religious, everything, you totally missed it. Look at this, what he says. I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. That was an honorable thing to do back then, right? You gave them water to wash their feet, right? But she has wet my hair with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Honorable and right. You gave me no kiss, which is also a sign of affection and honor and love. When somebody entered a house, give them a holy kiss. But you didn't do it. But she did. Since the time I came in, she hasn't ceased to kiss my feet. Feet. Right? And what she just cleaned with her tears. It wasn't all like lovely there. But she made it lovely by her excellence. Think about this. You did not anoint my head with oil, another honorable thing that they did before you ate together. You would anoint the head with oil. I don't understand all of it in there, but he said, you didn't anoint my head with oil, but they did. She did. She anointed his feet with perfumes. It's honorable and right. For this reason, I say her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. This was so impactful. She didn't even have to ask to be saved. She got saved right there. God said, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. What did she do? Your faith with excellence, that was enough to even save her, a sinner, right? So that's how powerful excellence is. That's how powerful you can walk through that. Go on, next one. The last thing I wanted to share. Anybody heard of this guy, Brandon Burlsworth? I did not know. If you want to, I'll probably do some spoilers a little bit for you. But this movie just came out called Greater. Anybody heard of that movie? Yeah, just like me, I had not heard of it. It's probably like a B plus like. Put together and, you know, acted and things like that. It's got some pretty good actors, but it tells the story of this guy right here, okay? I want to speak this because this is what excellence can do. Like, this guy, when he was in school, was incredibly made fun of. He grew up, especially in middle school, got overweight and got in this place where everybody was, like, you know, saying this and that. But something in him, he wants to play for Arkansas, the Arkansas Razorbacks, which is the big thing in Arkansas to do. There's nothing else in Arkansas other than to play for the Arkansas Razorbacks. So every young kid wants to play for the Arkansas Razorbacks. So he had no ability to play football, zero, not good at all. He just had some size, which then makes him, you know, maybe a candidate for a lineman. So he struggles through. He struggles through middle school. He struggles into, he got through his freshman, sophomore year, didn't really play. Junior year, didn't play. He only played like halftime with another guy because, you know, he wasn't that good, and so he kind of split some time. He always came to this place, and you see in the movie depicting this place where, you know, he always just applied excellence to whatever he did. Like, everybody didn't believe in him. He had to filter that out, and he filtered it out, and he said, I think God's calling me to do it. I think God's calling me to something. And that's all he had. He didn't have a skill at all, but he kept working at it, okay? So he comes to his senior year. He gets to this place of, he actually made All-State his senior year, okay? So he worked that hard at it to a place where he got All-State. So he gets a couple, he actually got a free ride to Arkansas Tech, which, you know, obviously nobody really wanted to go to, but he got a full ride. I mean, he got a couple D1 offers, or D2 offers, but he got a full ride to Arkansas Tech. But he's like, I really believe that God's called me to play for Arkansas Razorbacks. And so the Arkansas coaches, I mean, long story, he goes for an unofficial visit. They didn't even give him an official visit. And he goes to this visit, and the coaches said, well, we'll give you a chance. You can walk on, but you're never going to play a down in Arkansas at the Arkansas Razorback. Never. Like, he was teased. You go through his first year, he'd had no plan other than he went there. And he's like, I've got to earn a scholarship by my sophomore year because I have no money. His mom, like, mortgaged the house to get him into Arkansas. So he has no other plan. So his first year, he's funny. You can watch this movie. He has still isn't really a great skilled player. Obviously, it looks like he's not going to play a down. He works and applies excellence, applies endurance, and applies diligence, and he ends up earning a scholarship after his first year. Walking on, he got a scholarship, okay? So then, the next 2 years, they were 4-7. They weren't good. So that year, the coach got fired. So he comes back. All of a sudden, the coach, in that first year, it's kind of like a blow. You just blow it off here. You're like, we're rebuilding. This guy comes to his coach and says, please do not rebuild this year. He's like, we are going to work so hard in the offseason that we're going to have a good team. Like, I'm going to take these guys and we're going to work with them. And I'm going to work with them. In the offseason, he works with the guys. He calls them to himself. And this guy's a believer. Like, he does everything, like, right off the field, on the field. Almost to a point where the coaches would say, hey, you need to do it Burrell's way. Like, that's what was declared about him. You do it Burrell's way because that's the right way. That's the godly way. He works so hard in the offseason. Paula's not even here for us. I can say the first people they play, Alabama, number 20, they beat them 48-6. Biggest that they've ever been beaten. They start out 8-0. 8-0 from 4-7, and then a new coach. And it was a kind of a blow-off year. Why? Because this one person said, I am going to walk in excellence, and I'm going to change this team. 8-0. Unfortunately, they played Tennessee. I don't know if you ever remember back in 1998. They should have beaten Tennessee, but they had them 2 minutes to go. All they had to do was run four plays, and they would have won. They were beating them by two. The quarterback tripped over Burrell's foot going backwards. He dropped he hit the ground with the ball when he was going, fumbled it, and Tennessee got the ball back and scored. That's the only reason they probably were not undefeated that year. But this Burrell, he took it, and they went to the Citrus Bowl. Like, how do you do that from that? Why? He applied excellence. You know, this guy who said he would never play a down in Arkansas history got drafted to be a lineman for Peyton Manning. Wow. Now, there is a spoiler. Unfortunately, he died in a car accident about 2 weeks after that. But the cool part is that his life lives on. Why? Because he applied excellence to what he did. And because of that, he not only changed his life. I mean, they said, let me read this. There's a couple cool quotes, and I'm going to close. Sorry I went long, but I just really felt like the Lord just wanted to speak something into that. it was kind of interesting. He said, you know that Alabama game that they beat Alabama 48-6? You know where this guy was the next day? I mean, that night or the next day? He was in the dark. The coaches actually had to turn the lights on to see what was going on. They heard something. He was in the dark, and he was just practicing his offensive moves. They're like, what are you doing? Like, you're in the dark. And, like, he had all the defensive linemen set up, and, you know, he was practicing and stuff. And all of a sudden, he just said, you know, my game was a little off, and I want to make sure I'm practicing. You know, he was just doing this back and forth. You know, practice. What? Because we practice these things. The God of peace will be with you. God was with him. Like, incredible. He did everything to a T. He would never take off his helmet in practice. He was the first one there. He was the last one to leave. He worked out harder in the weight room than anybody else. He went to the whistle every time. He did the textbook stuff. He went from nothing to something. He just accomplished a lot. He was well respected because of the way he carried himself extremely well off the field as on the field. Guys noticed that in him, and they said, I want to be like Brandon. This is a guy that was picked on like crazy the first 2 or 3 years of his even in college. He said they would want to do it Burrell's way. And so the really cool thing is that every year there's an award that says you are the best walk-on in college football. They give the Burrell's Award. And so I just wanted to end with that because I felt like the Lord's just saying that God wanted to speak something into that. Excellence, right? Excellence. God wants to declare excellence into us. You as an individual, and I really believe us as a corporate body. Like, I want to do things in such excellence. Like, I want to do it that Burrell's way. I want to do it in a way that declares life into me, and then it declares life into this body. And so I feel like that. I feel like I just want to pray that into us. I don't know if you have anything or anything else, but if you have anything. All right, so let's stand up. I know it's getting close to 12, and I just realized it went a few minutes past 12. Can we get the prayer teams to come up? After this, I feel like the call is that, you know, maybe if you've struggled in this area of excellence, maybe you've had a hard time filtering what's true, right, pure, honorable, lovely, good report, and you want somebody to agree with you, come find one of these men and women. They'll agree with you. They will stand with you and declare into you that. But I feel like I want to do something corporately. This you can do individually. I want us to do something corporately, and I want us to pray something corporately for all of us to receive. And, all right? Is that all right with y'all?
Yes.
A couple people? Is that all right with y'all?
Yes.
All right. So let's just pray. If you want to, Lord, if you want to just, whatever you want to do, if you want to extend your hands or if you want to just say yes or whatever you want to do to this prayer, Lord. So, Lord, I just pray right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I know, God, that I know that you've put this word on our body, Lord, on the corporate body, Lord. You're wanting us to begin to filter through this filter of right and pure and lovely and true and a good report, Lord God. And we just ask in Jesus' name, Father, that we as a body of dwelling place, we just come into that experience of walking in your glory and walking in your excellence, Lord. Lord, we don't want to perform that out. We just want to be who you've already put it in us, Lord. You've already proclaimed and declared that into us from the foundation of the world, and you created, you breathed it into us. And so, Lord, I just pray right now in Jesus' name, God, that you as a dwelling place, us as a body, as a family, together, God, that we want to be a family, a body of your excellencies, to proclaim your excellencies, to practice, to walk in it, to see, Lord God, just like Brandon saw this team that was had losing record, all of a sudden, really, they were looking to contend for the national championship. Lord, I want that, Lord. We want to see the kingdom of God come, Lord, in the New River Valley, God, and that's going to take a family and a body that's walking in your glory and excellence so we can enter into your promises, so that we can walk in your divine nature, Lord. And I just pray that over us, God, that we're called to that. We're called to it, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for that. And then, Lord, we want to apply that excellence to our faith and see this, Lord, see this body flourish and grow, Lord, not just number-wise, just grow spiritually and in life-giving and financial giving and relationship giving and, Lord, our time and our gifts and Lord, all those things that were our wealth, God, you're wanting us to start sowing again, Lord. Maybe we've been stuck and we haven't been able to sow. We haven't been able to even think about it. We've been disillusioned or we might not have been able to step. God, I pray you'd begin to empower us to step, empower us to declare, empower us to get this filter into our spirit, into our life. And so, Lord, I pray that over us as a body, as a dwelling place, because you've called us to it, not out of performance, not out of condemnation, out of your life. And so, Lord, I thank you for that, and I declare it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. So I want to close. Come back tonight at 6:30. Pastor Shishko will be here. Come for some impartation. Come for some prayer this morning if you need it. Healing, restoration, anything that we talked about today. Come and get prayer this morning. Amen.